Well, good morning, church. It's good to be with you yet again this Lord's Day. If you are curious how long I'm going to be preaching for, well, that makes the two of us. I invite you to turn with me to the Epistle of 1 John. 1 John. This morning we'll be picking up from where we left off a couple of weeks ago, looking at verses 5 to verse 7. The Epistle of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. The Apostle John writes the following. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but God's word stands forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, indeed, as we come to you this morning, we pray, even as we have sung, speak to us as we come to your word. Take your truth, plant it deep within us, shape us and fashion us in your likeness. And so we pray that the words that are contained in this book, O Lord, would bring about repentance, will bring about a true understanding of what it means to be a Christian, of what it means to know you. And Lord, we do pray that indeed these words will change us. And so far we pray. What we know not, teach us. What we have not, give to us. And what we are not, make us. All for the name, or all for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. A story is told of a man who flew into South Africa and hired a taxi to take him downtown. As he was riding along, he came to a red light and the driver went through the red light. The man said, "Hey, the light was red. You're supposed to stop." The driver said, "Yeah, I know, but my brother does it all the time." Soon they came to a second red light, and again, he went right straight through it. And the passenger said, "You are going to get us killed. Why don't you stop at the red light?" The driver said, "Don't worry about it. My brother does it all the time." Then he came to a green light, and he stopped. The man said, "The light is green. Now is the time to go. Why don't you go through?" The driver answered, "I know it's green, but you never know when my brother may be coming through." As hilarious as the story may be, it reveals a sad reality of the world we live in today. We live in a world that has been baptized in filth, a world that loves and embraces the darkness, where men and women get to live on their own terms. They get to define the course of their life, where people set themselves as a standard of what is right and what is wrong, where people subscribe to the views of others, and ultimately those views become the authority. A people have lost the ways of God. A people are at a place where they love the darkness. We are living in a world that is in deep darkness. A world that has lost its sense of what is godly, holy, and acceptable in God's sight. And our people look to be pleasers of selves and people pleasers other than becoming pleasers of God. People now seek for the glory of self instead of the glory of God. In these verses before us, John writes to a church that seems to have their own views of what it means to be a Christian, of what it means to know God, and what ultimately what it means to walk with God. The believers seem to have now ascribed to themselves a false teaching that deceives believers, thinking that they are walking with God, but instead they are walking in darkness. They think that they are walking with the light, but they are living in sin. And to combat this false teaching, John sets the foundation of what it means to walk in the light. And the standard that John sets is God himself. And so as we unpack the three verses before us of what it means to walk in the light of God, we'll do so under the following points. And these points will help us understand the rich truth that God wants us to know. In verse 5, we'll consider the light represents God's character of holiness. In verse 6, we'll consider the walk of darkness is not the way of fellowship. And ultimately, when we walk in darkness, we lie to ourselves and we do not practice the truth. And they will conclude looking at the walk in the light is the way of fellowship. And that means we have fellowship with one another and we are forgiven of all our sins. One of the main reasons that John writes this as an apostle is that he wants the church to know who God is. John is concerned about the church having the right proper understanding of who God is, having proper theology of who God is. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, we see this highlighted to us. In 1 John 5, John writes this, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." What does he write? "That you may know that you have eternal life." John is concerned about believers that know God, that they must be assured that they have eternal life. And we see that this is one of the major themes because of the key phrase, we know, or the verb know. This verse, or rather this phrase, this word, appears about 46 times in 1 John. 46 times we know the truth, know God. This appears about 46 times. And so, John wants us to know God. So how do we know God? How do we know what we know about God is the truth? Or maybe to put it in a different way, how can you know that you know that you know the truth and you are walking in it? John knows that holding on to a wrong view of God, a false theology will lead to a wrong sinful practice. Wrong theology will lead to a sinful practice, a sinful way of living. And thus he wants the believers to know the truth. And thus many theologians have classified the book of 1 John as the book of test of faith. This book helps us to test, to examine if we are in the faith. This is echoed in the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5, where Paul urges the believers there. He says, "Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you have failed to meet the test." Examine yourself. Test yourself. This is not speaking to those that do not know God, that do not believe in God. But John and also Paul writes to those that claim to know Jesus. He says, "I want you to examine yourself. I want you to test yourself in light of Scripture to see that indeed you know God." Thus, 1 John serves as that test. It contains a series of biblical truths that one can use to test themselves to see if indeed they are believers. And before us this morning, we have the first test. The one who believes in God walks in the light. That's the first test of being a believer. Are you walking in the light? What theological truth does John base this on? God is a foundation of this truth. God is light. And so what does it mean that God is light? Consider with me the first point. The light represents God's character of holiness. In verse 5, this is a message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Before John unpacks what it means to walk with God, he first sets the foundation, the standard on which the Christian faith and practice is based upon. And that foundation is God himself. God sets the standard. He is the foundation. And that foundation declares God is light. What does it mean that God is light? Does light represent an Old Testament background where light symbolized both knowledge and purity? In the Bible, light has always been a symbol of holiness, of goodness, knowledge, wisdom, grace, hope, and ultimately God's revelation, how God reveals himself. The God who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of his Son, Jesus Christ. The psalmist would also say in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." And so light symbolizes knowledge. And later on, in the very same Psalm of 119, in verse 130, the psalmist writes, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Light symbolizes knowledge, symbolizes the truth. There are so many other scriptures like this which point to the light of God as knowledge, the truthfulness of his word. In other words, when we read that God is light, it means that God is a source and measure of all that is true. God is a source and measure of all that is true. God is a very definition of truth. Nothing can ever be fully understood until it is understood in the light of God. But also, light speaks of his purity. Light speaks of the holiness of God. God is holy. He is righteous. This is what John wants us to know. That God alone is the one who is righteous. God alone is the one who is holy. In him, there is not even a single speck, a single ounce of sin. God is on his own standard. God alone is holy. In him, there is no evil deed, no evil thought, no evil word. There is no wrongdoing in God. When we say God is holy, we are speaking of his transcendent majesty. This is the theme that we're considering at youth last term. That God is holy. That God is transcendent in his majesty. Ultimately, the theme that we considered went like this. God's transcendent majesty and infinite moral purity. God's transcendent majesty and infinite moral purity. That is to say, infinite means without limits and immeasurable. So only God is infinite, and he is infinite in all his glorious attributes. The word majesty includes all of his sovereign power and authority. royalty and splendor. And so transcendent majesty, it speaks of the infinite power of God. It speaks of the infinite authority and splendor that is God. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah gives us this picture or sets the standard and the degree of God's holiness. In Isaiah 6, as Isaiah gives us this vision of the throne of God, and as the seraphim, the angels, are descending to heaven, this was their song in verse 3 of Isaiah 6. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." That repetition of "holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts" ultimately declares that God alone is holy. God is on his own standard, on his own level of holiness. There is no one like God. And I hope you're getting the message that I'm trying to get across, that there is no one like our God. To whom will you compare God to? To whom will you liken God to? There is no one like him under heaven or under earth. God alone is holy. And because God is holy, in him there is no darkness. God is not associated with anything that is evil. There is not a single inch of sin. Now, I'm not good at measurements, but I know inch is very small. Even that level of smallness of sin is not found in God. And so when John declares to us that God is light and in him there is no darkness, ultimately he draws a separation. He says, the separation is this: God is good, therefore he cannot be evil. God is right and he's not associated with anything that is wrong. God alone is godly and he's not associated with anything that is ungodly. God alone is righteous. God alone is holy. And God alone is light. And in him there is no darkness. This is a message we have heard. This is a message that John proclaims to the believers. And while we may not read of these words in the epistle of John or anywhere else in the gospel, but we know that the apostle John was with Jesus. He sat under his preaching. And so when he says, this is a message that we've heard and we proclaim to you that God is light, he's recalling to us, he's telling us what he has heard from Jesus, from the very mouth of Jesus. And this truth can also be highlighted in the gospel. In chapter 1 of the gospel of John, Jesus declares this in verse 4, where he says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And further on, he goes on to say, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God." John there highlights that Jesus himself is the light. That the Word who was with God in the beginning, who was God, is also light. And also in chapter 3, in verses 19 to 21, we see the very same theme coming through, that God is light, and those who walk in him must not continue to walk in darkness. And so ultimately, the character of God establishes the absolute standard of light. He is the measure for us to use, to test, to examine whether or not we are in the faith. If we have come to truly know Him, God has revealed to us who He is. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. And so what does that mean? What is the application or the implication that we can draw of the fact, the truth that God is light? John goes on to say this: the walk of darkness is not the way of fellowship. Verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. John now moves to apply this truth to the people, to the church, and his application is straightforward and clear. Therefore, if we say, if we claim, if we profess that we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We do not live according to the truth. This is the negative implication from that foundational truth, God is light. This is not how we are meant to apply this truth in our lives. This is a wrong application in light of who God is. This is the first of three conditional sentences in this chapter, marked by the conditional clause, if. It is likely that these three conditional clauses in verse 6, verse 8, and also in verse 10, it is likely that these were the truths that the false teachers were teaching at the church. This is what we're proclaiming to the believers there. That it doesn't matter how you live your life. As long as you believe in God, you are sharp. You are okay. Your belief in God, it's okay if it's not in sin in how you live your life. And John is concerned about that. Because our belief in God will shape how we live in this world. And the sad thing is, what was happening in the church is that those who now were called out on this false teaching and were cast out from the church, they were still saying, we are still part of the fellowship. We are still part of the church. We still believe in God. We still have fellowship with God. And John is saying, no, buddy, it doesn't work like that. This is not true. You are walking in darkness. Therefore, you cannot have fellowship with God, and ultimately, you cannot have fellowship with us. Those who say they know God, yet still in walking darkness, means that they do not know Him. It means that they do not believe. Because belief in God is seen in your manner of living. To walk simply means a way of lifestyle, a style of living. How you live your life. To walk expresses how you live your life. An example of this is Enoch. In Genesis 5, verse 22, read the words. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He was not found among people. Why? Because God took him. So Enoch walked with God. What does that mean? Enoch lived a righteous life. A life that showed he belonged to God. A life that reflected that he knows God. He trusts in God. And thus he obeys God. And this is the heart of the passage. This is where John is getting at. It is not enough to believe in God. belief in God is not enough. James will say, well, you believe in God? Even the demons believe and yet they perish. It needs to go deeper than that. We need to take it a step further, and John takes it a step further. Belief in God is meant to bring about godly living. John here wants us to take the test. John here wants us to examine ourselves. See if you truly know God. See if you're walking in the light. Because we have so many Christians that are deceiving themselves. Or maybe let me phrase it differently. We have so many so-called Christians out there that are walking in darkness, but yet claim they know God. They put up this facade that as though they're presenting this way of living that seems as though they believe. But when you look deeper, they are walking in darkness. And so to test ourselves means we weigh up our life in light of God's word. And the life that we weigh up is not the public life. It's not the life that you are living amongst your friend. You don't use that life to test yourself. You don't measure yourself in terms of how you are dressed here this morning, with that degree of holiness, as it were. But John is saying this, that you need to test yourself. You need to put yourself. Think of yourself as the one who is behind closed doors when no one is looking. When you are in your own space, when no one is watching. That is a person that you are meant to test in light of God's word. Test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Because ultimately, if you say you know God and yet you walk in darkness, you lie to yourself. If you are holding on to worldly teachings, if you are embracing the practices of this world, when you see nothing wrong with stealing, with lying, with cheating, when you are watching wicked things on television, when you are listening to secular songs. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not against secular songs. But what matters most is that what you are listening to, or even what you are watching, does it contradict God's word? Are you someone that's living in this way? Are you someone that has embraced the practices of this world, cohabiting, living with someone that you are not yet married to, having sex outside of marriage, the belief in same-sex marriage, that this is now the new normal? When we begin to hold on to these beliefs, to these practices, we are walking in darkness. And ultimately, means that we are not Christian. It means that we do not know Him. And we do not practice the truth. We do not practice what we believe. Your manner of living is not in line with the profession of faith you have made. You say you are saved. You say that you are a Christian, but your life is covered by a filth of this world. What John tells us, he says, it is clear that you were never saved. It is clear that you did not know Him. Therefore, test yourself, brothers. Examine yourself, sisters, to see if you truly know Him. One of the things we need to recognize, and I've said this already, that belief in God brings about repentance, a turning away from sin, and an embracing of God. And so the one who says they know God. The one who says they believe in Him. It is sin in how they live their life. And so you cannot sit here this morning and say you know God and yet still believing in your sin. You cannot say that you love Him and still be holding on to your sinful practices. You cannot say, I belong to the kingdom, but you are following the cause and the pattern of this world. Paul asks, what fellowship has light with darkness? What fellowship do believers have with the world? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. No fellowship whatsoever. And so John says, those who hold on to this practice, those who still think that they believe in God, although they walk in darkness, they are not believers. They are not of the faith. John is concerned with whom we associate ourselves with. John is concerned that our deepest, our most intimate fellowship is meant to be with believers, with those with whom we have the same belief in Jesus. And so, what does a positive implication of walking in the light look like? What does a positive implication or application of God is light? Thirdly, consider with me, the walk of light is the way of fellowship. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. When we walk in the light, as He is in the light, that is, we reflect God's perfection in this world. That is, our manner of life, we are able to see that we believe in God, that we are bearing fruit that are keeping in steps with repentance. That's what it means to walk in the light. To live a life that shines forth the glory of God. It means walking like Jesus walked while He was here on earth. Seeking to imitate His lifestyle in all that we do. It means we live a life that believes the right doctrine and moral purity. It means that we hold on to the right truth. And at our last sermon, we considered this, that John writes to correct that Jesus indeed did come in the flesh. And the false teachers were teaching that Jesus, no, He did not come in the flesh. And so when we say we are walking in the light, when we say we know God, we're saying we know the true God, the incarnate Son of God who has come in the flesh. We hold on to the true doctrine of faith. And we allow that doctrine to shape our life. And thus we walk in holiness. How do we walk in holiness? God has given us His Word. In these pages is contained the will of God and the mind of God for us. In this Word, we are able to see, we are able to read up how we are to live and how we are to conduct ourselves. The truth about God is revealed. The truth about us is revealed in these pages. And we need to allow this truth to bring about moral purity, a holy living. There needs to be a pursuit for godliness, for holy living in this darkened world. Brothers, sisters, our light needs to shine forth in this world. For the fact that we know Him means we live differently from the world. for the fact that we know Him and we have fellowship with Him means we have fellowship with each other. It means that together, you and I are walking in the light. It means that together, you and I are looking to Jesus and we are saying we want to become more and more like Him. There needs to be a pursuit for godliness. There needs to be a sensitiveness to sin. We need to get to a point where we weep over our sin, where we are concerned about our sin and the sins of others. Because if we allow sin to continue to reign, means we are not in fellowship with God, and therefore we are not in fellowship with each other. And so, test yourself. Examine yourself. Are you walking in the light? Verse 6 shows us what destroys fellowship with God. And the extension is to the church. Walking in darkness. Walking in darkness destroys fellowship with God. And verse 7 shows us what preserves fellowship with God. Walking in the light. The only way that you and I are able to preserve this precious deep unity with God and with other believers is if we continue to walk in the light. A daily turning away from sin and an embracing of God. Jesus' blood has cleansed us from all sin. We are forgiven of all sin. That is, God, His Christ, has forgiven us of all of our sins, past, present, and future. Jesus has made us a holy people. We are a holy people. That before His presence, we can stand justified and forgiven of all of our sins. We have the righteousness of Christ that covers us, that we can stand before His holy presence. Not only are we forgiven of our sins as we read in this verse, but I believe this verse is saying something even more deeper than that. Whilst we are forgiven, this does not give us the license to go out and sin. What we see that this cleansing implies also a progressive sanctification. That is, daily we have been conformed into the image of Christ. That God works in and through us that which is good and pleasing in His sight. And so, for the fact that God has forgiven us, it does not mean that, well, I'm going to live my life however I want to, which is what the believers in 1 John were doing. It doesn't really matter how I live my life. The ark is there. You know, the cross is there. I can always go there and I can find forgiveness. And so I'm going to do whatever I want to. It doesn't mean that. And John corrects us later on in chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, where he says, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the work of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. The one born of God is sensitive to sin. The one who born of God weeps over their sin. They cry over their sin because they recognize that this sin separates me from God. This sin separates me from the fellowship with other believers. Therefore, I must cut it out. Therefore, I must walk in the light. This is a message we have heard. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. God has revealed to us who He is. Jesus is the light of the world. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus says this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Light has now come to us. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in a region and shadow of death, on them light has dawned. On you, the light of Christ has shined forth. God is calling you to himself. God is calling you to forsake the darkness and to embrace Christ. God is calling you to walk in the light of his word. There is two ways to which we get to live in this world. There is two paths for all of us. One is light, one is darkness. Which will you choose? Which will you walk in? Examine yourself. Test yourself to see if you know him and if you are walking in the light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the truth of your word. Thank you that we were able to see in the pages of scripture that you are light and in you there is no darkness. That Father, those who claim, who say they know you, that they are to walk in the light as you are in the light. And so, Father, I pray for ourselves this morning that we'll be believers that put this truth into application. That we'll be ones that walk with you. We'll be ones that walk in the truth of your word. That, Father, we would produce the fruit of repentance. Father, we pray that the light of the gospel will shine forth in our lives. Lord, we acknowledge this morning that not always do we get that right. We acknowledge that, Father, we still struggle with sin. So Lord, in those moments when we have sinned, when we have done you wrong, we pray, Father, that by your Holy Spirit you will convict us of all sin and you would lead us to the truth. That, Lord, we would forsake the world and cling on to Christ. Father, may we test ourselves. May we examine ourselves to see that daily we are walking with you, that daily we are turning from sin and turning to you. And now, Father, we pray that, as you have said in your word, that we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He is a true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from all idols. Amen.